today's readings give us an opportunity to reflect a little bit on the law. Well, the new law. If I say we're going to reflect on law, everybody will get downcast. Who wants to reflect on law? Well, what the gospel and the first reading both refer to is a comparison between the old law and the new law, the old covenant and the new covenant. And this is worth reflecting on. There's a lot of passages in the New Testament that do this kind of reflection. St. Paul considered this one of the key questions. What's the relationship between the old and the new? Think of his letter to the Romans or his letter to the Galatians. He talks a lot about this. And today's first reading comes from the second letter to the Corinthians. Of course, the key to understanding the new law is Jesus himself. And in the Sermon on the Mount, which we're reading from these days, Jesus is the new Moses on the new mountain, and he's giving the new law. I find it beautiful that we make this reflection on the new law, on the new Moses, in these days of preparation for the Feasts of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. We have the image of the Sacred Heart over there. You think of the image of Moses. If you imagine, how do you portray Moses? Usually he's standing there with the two tablets. That's the iconic representation of Moses. He's the lawgiver, he carries the tablets. What's the iconic representation of Jesus? He's not holding tablets. In fact, the main representation of Jesus is Jesus hanging on the cross, not giving or imposing a law, but taking on himself the punishment that is justly due to us, Jesus on the cross. But in these days, we're focused on at least in the Catholic world, we're focused on the Sacred Heart. And Jesus is not pointing with those images of the Sacred Heart. He's not pointing at tablets, he's pointing at his own heart. See, the law is not law carved in stone, but the law written on the heart. Law of love. In today's gospel, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." It's good that he says that, because there's a certain recurring error in the church and in the world that says it's time to abolish the law. In the religious world, the idea of abolishing the law is getting rid of the old law, meaning the Old Testament and all the lessons that we learn from of old, including the Ten Commandments. But you see where that error is going to lead. If you abolish the law, you end up with no law. In the world, this is the attitude that says, no one can tell me what to do. No one can impose a law on me, not even God. That's a kind of gut reaction, but more thoughtful people who are non-believers would say the danger of the idea of a divine law is that, not that there's a God and that he might have a law, but that it's always interpreted by men, and men use their version of the divine law to enslave. You think of the so-called blasphemy laws in some of the Islamic countries. What happens is people claim possession of what they say is divine law, and then they use it as a weapon against people. And that is a danger. So you can see why people have these desires to abolish the law. But Jesus says very clearly, I have not come to abolish the law. Now, abolishing the law is one extreme. And the other extreme is rigid legalism, fixing the law in stone, written in stone. That was a problem among the Jews, and it's a problem. It's a trap that we can fall into any time. You just think, the Jews, remember, had great love for the law. It's a religion of law, and what the Jews know even to this day is that you follow the law and you're righteous. That's how you know whether you're righteous or not. Now, it was never intended to be rigid legalism, but it's easy to slip into it, because how else can you tell if someone follows the law or not? You look at their behavior, you look at the law, and you see whether they broke the law or not. But the Jews have a great love for the law. You think of Psalm 119, a long meditation on how great it is to have the law from God. Lord, how I love your law, the Jews say. Here's St. Paul in today's first reading. Here's a Jew. He loves the law. He's a Pharisee. He's been trained his whole life in the law, but he recognizes the distinction between what he had received before and what he has now received by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, well, the old law was glorious. Yes, it was certainly glorious, but it was a fading glory. It was written in stone. It gave light to the chosen people, a light that still shines on us, but not enough to save us. That's why he calls it the ministry of condemnation, or the law that brings death. Because the law by itself, no matter how closely you follow it, can't save you. And that's what Paul realized. And he was an expert at following the law. But we are not saved by following the law. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation by faith, not salvation by legal observance. That's the freedom that comes with Christianity. Well, as long as we're not rigid. Now, as I said, this trap of legalism or of rigidity is a danger even for Christians, because we can treat even the new law in a rigid way, as if we are still making ourselves righteous by our following of the law. And one of the very appealing temptations is using the law as a basis for judging other people. Self-righteousness is a trap for any religious person. Self-righteousness and judgment. Paul's point here, though, is that the old law was glorious, but it was a fading glory. And by comparison to the new law, it's not glorious at all. By comparison to the surpassing glory of the ministry that brings righteousness, the law that really does save us. That's the law Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, in this reading today, he says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So he's not abolishing the law, but neither is he imposing the law rigidly. He's taking it to a higher level. He's fulfilling it. And this is the balance that is difficult to strike. That's why we need to ponder what Jesus does here. Now, he doesn't explain in this passage what he means by fulfilling the law. What does that mean, to fulfill rather than to abolish? It doesn't mean living according to the letter. Neither does it mean ignoring it, abolishing it. It means taking it in at a deeper level, a more interior response to the law, because it's a response to the will of God. Now, I say he doesn't explain it here, but this is the beginning of a long passage in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus will give examples of what he means. You have heard it said, meaning there's the law, but I say to you, here's the fulfillment of the law. Now, we're going to see this pattern in days to come. But here he's establishing it. He's establishing the principle that he's not abolishing the law. The law is a good thing, and it's good that we have laws. We should not take on the anarchist mentality that no laws, no more laws. That's disaster, both religiously and in civil life. But we are not to treat the law as a god either. We don't worship the law, we worship the lawgiver. We're not under the oppression of law, we are set free by the law. And the law that Jesus will reveal, he doesn't reveal it completely in this selection, but what he will reveal is the law of love. That's why it's great to have it. These readings come in these days before the Feast of the Sacred Heart. The law of love, the law written on the heart, the law that comes forth from within us because God is at work in us, so that we're not intent on proving our righteousness or being self-righteous, or not intent on judging. We're intent on putting ourselves at the service of others for their good. That's how love works. Even for the benefit of lawbreakers. That's Jesus again. Who does Jesus save on the cross? Sinners. People who break the law. It's not a ministry of condemnation. It's a ministry of salvation. So this is what we're celebrating. Certainly this is what Jesus will reveal as we read the Gospels in the next, well, into next week from the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what St. Paul is reflecting on, the glorious saving quality of the new law, the law of love.